Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
Agriculture is providing a lot of fuel. The ethanol production in this country is huge. And, I'd like to see more E85 availability, for instance.
State Representative Tom McKee is talking about a blend of fuel that improves gas mileage and air quality. He wants more of that in Kentucky.
A state committee has been appointed to investigate Governor Bevin's alleged threats to House Democrats.
And Rowan County's high school is boasting a boost in state testing scores.
In sports, the American League postseason hits full swing this evening with games in Arlington and Cleveland.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Clear skies tonight with lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 38-year-old former Wheelersburg man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison following his conviction on charges of conspiracy to distribute heroin. According to WSAZ, the Southern Ohio Drug Task Force says Michael Green will also have to serve another 10 years of supervised release after he leaves prison. In addition to heroin, the task force says it also seized guns and ammunition during the investigation. The Scioto County Sheriff's Department, Portsmouth Police, and the FBI assisted in the probe.
Several state leaders and lawmakers are meeting in Ashland to discuss the drug epidemic being experienced in eastern Kentucky. Several issues will be examined at the meeting, including how the state has been affected by the drug problem. Attorney General Andy Beshear believes that the drug epidemic in the state is Kentucky's number one impediment to industrial growth.
East Kentucky has been absolutely devastated, first through the pill mills and then by the drug abuse that has followed, the pill pipelines from out in the state. If we are going to create the type of East Kentucky and attract the type of jobs that we want to, we've got to make sure that the population is healthy.
He says several ways to accomplish that have been suggested, including legislation being drafted which would increase the penalty for trafficking deadly fentanyl and carfentanil. In addition, he says prosecuting overdose trials as murder cases has been effective. Also on the agenda at Friday's meeting will be the various methods law enforcement and addiction recovery professionals can manage the influx of fentanyl and carfentanil into the population.
Kentucky State Police posts around the Commonwealth will be joining forces with the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration for an upcoming anti-drug initiative. They'll be holding a drug take-back day on Saturday, October 22nd. Trooper Joe Veneman is the spokesman for KSP Post 8 in Moorhead.
The majority of agencies within the state, they actually are taking back unused prescriptions that people might have at the residence. They're not sure of proper ways to dispose. It's totally anonymous. They come in and with prescription medication that they have, as long as it's in the proper containers, it gets dumped into a big bag that we have, and after we collect it on that day, the DEA comes and collects it from us.
The DEA then destroys those drugs. Since state police began holding drug take-back days in 2010, over 10,000 pounds of expired, unused, and unwanted prescription medications have been collected. Certain items, like intravenous solutions, injectables, syringes, and illicit substances such as marijuana and methamphetamine, will not be accepted during the event.
A second water pump used to draw water from the Ohio River failed last week in Ashland, leaving the water plant with one pump. According to the Ashland Independent, the plant only needs one pump to supply treated water from the river to the city, but if a last pump fails, the plant would have no source of water to supply the city's water system. The plant produces between 10 and 11 million gallons of water daily.
State House Speaker Greg Stumbo has appointed a 5-member committee to look into allegations that Governor Matt Bevin made threats and retaliated against Democrats in the chamber. Charges the administration has categorically denied. Josh James has more.
The newly minted House Investigatory Committee on Executive Actions, made up of 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans, will examine accusations by Nicholasville Representative Russ Meyer that Bevin put an $11 million road project in his district on hold after the lawmaker refused to switch parties. Speaking with reporters Wednesday, Stumbo maintained the probe isn't politically motivated.
It is not an impeachment committee. It is a committee to find out what the facts are and why these actions occurred in the manner that they occurred in.
But the announcement was quickly labeled a political farce by Bevin Chief of Staff Blake Brickman, who said the Prestonsburg Democrat wants to distract voters from corruption in the Democratic ranks as the election nears.
There's never been a single threat to any member of the Democratic legislature, ever. I've been in every single one of those meetings, never any threat whatsoever.
Brickman also played a voicemail. He said Stumbo left for a Republican he tapped for the committee, Representative David Floyd, highlighting this portion.
I think we at least ought to take a look at it and, you know, see what happened. I'm sure the story's probably not as bad as it was portrayed.
But the speaker says there is enough evidence to warrant the investigation. The panel could begin meeting as early as next week with the goal of reporting the findings before the General Assembly convenes in January. I'm Josh James reporting.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has been in Kentucky to announce a program that will reduce rural poverty nationwide. The project involves a partnership with 26 community development organizations to give long-term, low-interest financing to local entities for community facilities and services, such as education, healthcare, and infrastructure. The Agriculture Department says many of the projects will be in some of the poorest areas of the U.S., such as communities in Appalachia, colonias along the U.S.-Mexico border, and the Mississippi Delta region. The agency will provide $401 million of Community Facilities Program funds. Vilsack made the announcement today at Berea College, which has recently received Agriculture Department funding to help businesses become more energy efficient.
The Louisville-based National Aerospace Education Institute is trying to expand its Air and Space Academy to more school districts in Kentucky. That's what its Director of Development, Edlisa Embry-Lessig, told an audience attending a panel discussion on aeronautics Wednesday at Morehead State University. She says the four-year program is available locally to school systems that pay a $4,700 fee. That's to join the Academy's network, as well as providing an instructor for it.
We take a STEM teacher at your high school, so it's a really great deal. Your principal doesn't have to hire a new teacher. We take one that's already there. We train them. We provide curriculum and a syllabus for them to go through. That freshman year, they'll take Intro to Aerospace. The second year, we'll go into the pathways that we offer, which is aviation mechanics, engineering, space science, and wing design, and then private pilot license, so the aeronautics end of it, and unmanned aerial systems.
Lessig says career pathway instruction becomes more intense during the students' junior and senior years. She says more than 800 students are involved in the program across Kentucky.
Governor Matt Bevin says his administration is committed to producing a better-trained workforce for aerospace and other advanced manufacturing sectors. The Republican says that's why he put $100 million into the Workforce Ready Skills Initiative that involves building local partnerships between educators and businesses. Bevin says that's also among the missions of the newly created Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium, which had its official kickoff Wednesday at Morehead State University.
We are at the front end of what I think is going to be transformative, not only for Kentucky, not only for Morehead State, but for the aerospace engineering in science arena as a whole. And it's going to be Kentucky that's going to lead the way.
Bevin says Kentucky must develop a more sophisticated workforce, which is able to adapt to rapid changes in science and technology.
The principal at Rowan County Senior High School says his school's improvement on last spring's state achievement test demonstrates that helping each student succeed academically takes a more modern approach to teaching than what it used to. According to Ray Ginter, the best way to provide instruction for kids today is for teachers to focus less on their classrooms as a whole and more on each student's individual learning skills.
We value, and I'm sure, you know, if one of those children were yours, you would be proud that we would focus on that child to make sure that he or she is getting what she needs.
Last spring, Rowan Senior High recorded a school record composite score of 78.2 on its state testing, an increase of 8 points from last year.
A recent decision by officials from Maysville Community and Technical College to shelve a possible plan to change the school's name is just fine with the director of its Rowan campus. According to Russ Ward, several public forums held on the topic on MCTC's four campus sites in the last few months didn't generate much enthusiasm for such action. Ward admits that there's at least one benefit to the school's decision to retain its current moniker, it won't have to spend any money on marketing a new brand.
That's true. And, you know, and it is a name that's recognized and is becoming more recognized as we've, you know, developed such a stronger regional reputation. So, you know, it'll be okay.
Officials had been discussing possibly giving MCTC a new name that better reflects its four-campus regional nature. The school opened its central campus center in Maysville in 1968.
The West Carter Middle School Science Club has earned an award from a Kentucky environmental group. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez has more.
The group has been recognized for building a monarch butterfly waste station at the school, which earned the Kids Prides Project of the Month award. The Science Club students worked alongside professionals from the UK Cooperative Extension Service, as well as completed their own research to find the best site for the waste station. The garden features all Kentucky native plants, including the milkweed that is used to attract and sustain the butterflies. The club also installed rain barrels to help maintain the garden. The funds for the project came from the 2015-16 Environmental Education Grant that was sponsored by Toyota in Kentucky. Pride stands for Personal Responsibility in a Desirable Environment. Its goals is to contribute to the economic and cultural growth of southern and eastern Kentucky. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Kentucky's Commissioner of Aviation says the Commonwealth has about the right number of airports, but now it needs to improve them. Steve Parker says Kentucky will soon have 60 airports when a new facility is completed in Gallatin County. He says the state is now investing $10 million to upgrade the structures, and that's a historic commitment.
We're working on our parking ramps, our parallel taxiways, our runways. Important thing is to keep them safe and efficient for businesses to come. We have more construction projects going on at airports today than any point in aviation history in Kentucky.
Parker says good airports are crucial to Kentucky's ability to recruit new businesses. He says big companies need places to land corporate jets, and if they're not available, those firms will find them elsewhere.
The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee says he'd like to see efforts to improve gas mileage and air quality in Kentucky to involve greater production and availability of ethanol. Democrat Tom McKee of Harrison County says E85, which is a blend of 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline, could open up new markets for farmers. However, he notes it's sometimes hard to find in Kentucky.
We don't have E85 available very readily all over our state. I don't know if some states do. I'm sure Iowa, where a lot of ethanol is produced, they probably do.
Proponents of E85 say it can benefit agricultural areas and better utilizes waste materials. Critics claim some blends of ethanol and gasoline make it more difficult to start vehicles in cold weather.
Kentucky Power and the Kentucky Transmission Company are looking to replace an old power substation in Floyd County. The $30 million project will seek approval from the Kentucky Siting Board next year to replace the 65-year-old Betsy Lane substation in Stanville. Allison Barker is a corporate communications manager with Kentucky Power. She says a more modern replacement would be a great improvement.
The substation at Betsy Lane was built in the 50s. If you think about the technology we had in the 50s and what we have today, you understand why we want to upgrade that system. We want to modernize it, and that will help us serve the customers in a more reliable manner.
If approved, construction on a new substation is expected to begin in early 2018. Barker says the project is estimated to provide about $200,000 in annual tax revenue, with about $70,000 going to Floyd County schools.
According to the Morehead Post of the Kentucky State Police, troopers investigated two fatal accidents in their 11-county service region last month. The mishaps were in Rowan and Powell counties. The KSP responded to one fatal crash in August, but it resulted in the deaths of two persons in Morgan County. Troopers made 224 criminal arrests in September compared to 209 in August. There were 20 DUI citations last month as opposed to 29 the month before.
Your weather tonight, mostly clear with patchy dense valley fog near dawn, lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, warm and mostly sunny with patchy dense valley fog early, highs in the upper 70s. On Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. And on Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing, highs in the upper 60s. Saturday night, clear with lows in the mid-40s. And on Sunday, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. In Ashland right now, it's 81 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 81 degrees. Inez, 81. Lexington, 82. Winchester, 84. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 82 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're glad you tuned in on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, forest fire hazard season is now underway. With more, here's MSPR's Sean Delaney.
Folks should understand that the forest, the leaf litter is dry, and as the leaves begin to fall off the trees, the forest is holding less moisture and it's becoming more susceptible to wildfire.
That's John Kazmierski with the Kentucky Division of Forestry. On average, there are nearly 1,500 wildfires every year in Kentucky alone. As the fall months roll ahead, more and more dry leaves collect on the ground, and according to Kazmierski, this increases the chances of an accidental wildfire.
Folks should be vigilant about trying to make sure if they smoke, they're not dropping cigarette butts in the leaf litter. If they're using any type of stove or grill, that they're clearing good 6-8 feet around them, any leaf litter down to mineral soil as best as possible.
One of the most common mistakes people make is that they assume rainfall will negate any chances of a brush fire. That idea, says Kazmierski, is a dangerous assumption.
In this area, a little bit of rain might moisten things up for a short time, but the leaf litter and the forest dry out very quickly after a small rain. So no one should assume that just because we've had a little bit of rain that the fire danger has decreased.
Wildfires in Kentucky destroy homes, private property, trees, and landscapes. The fall forest fire season runs from October 1st to December 15th. During that time, state law restricts people from open burning within 150 feet of any woodland or brushland between 6 in the morning and 6 at night. Kazmierski says people should make sure burning is allowed before starting any fires.
And if they are using fire in the woods, to be extremely careful and have the proper tools with them to put out any type of fire. And once they leave the area, make sure the fire is dead out by drowning it, stirring it, and then drowning and stirring it again and holding their hand over to make sure it's completely out and cold.
For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
The time is 4:47. You're still tuned into Mountain Edition. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, 90.3 FM. With a check of your sports, Braxton Howard is up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the UK College of Public Health, with a reminder to parents to ensure the health of your child by offering a healthy diet and regular doctor checkups, including vaccines. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a common cancer-causing virus. The CDC recommends 3 doses of the HPV vaccine for all boys and girls ages 11 to 26. Total Care Pharmacy at 206 West Main Street in Moorhead is now offering the vaccine with no appointment needed. More information at 784-4491.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Rangers and Blue Jays just got the American League Division Series underway a moment ago in the first game of the day for the Major League Baseball playoffs. The game is still tied at 0 in the first inning. 9-9, Marco Estrada is on the mound for the Blue Jays. 15-game winner Cole Hamels is pitching for the Rangers. In the second game of the day, the Boston Red Sox take on the Cleveland Indians in the other American League Division Series. AP correspondent Matt Lodi has more on that game.
9 years ago, Terry Francona rallied the Red Sox from a 3-run series deficit before beating the Indians 4-3 in the American League Championship Series. Tonight, he now leads the Indians against his former team in Game 1 of the American League Divisional Series in Cleveland. The AL East champion Red Sox were the best in baseball in runs per game and batting average. The Indians were second in the American League in runs scored. Game 1 will see Trevor Bauer at 12-8 for the Indians go up against Rick Porcello. The Cy Young candidate was 22-4 with an ERA of 3.15. The Red Sox won the season series against Cleveland 4-2. Matt Lodi, Cleveland.
Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier says keeping their mistakes to a minimum will be critical for the Eagles' hopes of winning Saturday's PFL road battle with Dayton. To that end, Tenier knows MSU's kickoff and punt coverage teams have to do a better job against the opportunistic Flyers. Those groups have combined to allow opposing returners to score 3 touchdowns so far this season.
We've got a lot of guys playing, and those are just minimal mistakes, and they're turning into big plays, and so we've got to find a way to eliminate those. And again, it goes back to making sure that we're asking our guys to do things that they can do and be able to execute.
Both MSU and Dayton are 1-1 in the PFL, and Saturday's loser could see its hopes of competing for a conference title this season evaporate. The University of Kentucky football team is preparing for a matchup with Vanderbilt when they host the Commodores at Commonwealth Stadium on Saturday. After giving up 131 points in the first three games of the season, Kentucky's defense has stepped up in the last couple games, and head coach Mark Stoops sees a big difference in his team's defensive unit.
Night and day, really. Night and day, I think we're growing and we're getting better, and we do have some inexperience that you got to figure out what they can do and how they can execute. And that's all of us. That's coaching and players. It's not on them. But together we're figuring it out and we're making some improvement, and I think you'll continue to see that.
Both Vanderbilt and Kentucky go into Saturday's game with 2-3 records. Round County's 0-6 football team is looking forward to a district home game against Boyd County tomorrow night at 7:30. Round coach Gene Peterson says job one for his team will be to find a way to stop the Lions' ground and pound offense.
Hopefully our defense can stop their run. You know, their passing game is not the the best in the world. It is effective for them at times, but they're not going to go out there and just swing it around like everyone else has.
3-3 Boyd County is led by quarterback Dalton Atkins' 405-yard rushing this season. The Lions are scoring an average of just over 22 points a game. There's one area high school football game tonight. 4-2 Fleming County visits West Carter. Fleming coach Bill Spencer says the Athletic Comets will present the Panthers with a big challenge.
Got a lot of speed on the defensive side of the ball. Then on offense, you know, they have the Brown cousins that are their main playmakers, very, very dangerous players. Got Peyton at the running back receiver position and Ethan at quarterback that are both very fast, athletic kids and capable of scoring any play.
West Carter is 3-3 this season. Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino is giving Cardinal fans a preview of what they can expect from his team this season. Pitino believes he has a talented group, and he wants the Cards to have a style of play, much like the one used by the 1996 National Championship team he had at Kentucky.
That team had great depth, also had tremendous athleticism, and could score a lot of points. And we're hoping to emulate that basketball team in terms of style of play.
Louisville returns two starters from last season, juniors Quentin Snyder and Jalen Johnson. The Cardinals open up at home on November the 13th against Samford. The Moorhead State soccer team is at James Stadium tonight at 7 o'clock to entertain SIU Edwardsville. Coach Warren Lipka remains enthused about his Eagles, saying some recent lineup changes have paid dividends.
They know me as a coach. If it's not broken, I'm not going to mess with it. But if it's broken, and we were broken, and just throw some people I felt that have been working extremely hard throughout the year, give them that chance.
MSU will be out tonight to win its first OVC contest of the fall. The Eagles are 0-3-1 in conference play. Edwardsville is 3-1. Both of the Round County soccer teams are in action tonight. For the Round boys, they host St. Patrick's tonight at 6. Coming off of a 4-0 loss to Madison Southern Tuesday, head coach Max Hammonds hopes the loss will get his guys back on track heading into postseason play, which begins next week.
I'm hoping it wakes them up a little bit and gets them ready to go, because they know they're better than that. And we've got to make sure that we come out and give it our all every game. And, if we don't, we're going to be going home early.
As for the 10-5-1 Round girls, they visit Lawrence County. Both Round teams will face Menifee County in the first round of the 61st District Tournament in Bath County next week. And finally in sports, the Moorhead State volleyball team is preparing for Friday's OVC home match against Belmont. MSU coach Jamie Gordon wants his Eagles to build on their straight set victories over Murray State last weekend.
Our offense and defensive play really came together, especially against a quality opponent like Murray State. That was a fun one.
The Eagles are 6-11-2 and 2-2 in conference. Friday's contest with Belmont starts at 7 p.m. That's it for sports for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle volleyball and soccer are home this weekend. Volleyball hosts Belmont at 7 p.m. Friday and Tennessee State at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Soccer will host Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed near the flat line as investors looked ahead to a key employment report tomorrow. And, of course, that's the federal government's non-farm payrolls report. And analysts will be watching that very closely. in terms of trying to determine if the Fed will raise interest rates here in the near future. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a modest loss of 12.53 at 18,268.5. The S&P 500 was up 1.04 at 2160.77, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 9.17 at 5306.85. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 16 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Wall Street also kept an eye on oil prices as U.S. crude rose 1.22% to settle at a four-month high of $50.44 a barrel, crude today underpinned by bullish inventories data that was released yesterday. U.S. Treasury yields rose and bond prices dropped following the release of better-than-expected weekly jobless claims data. The two-year note yield traded at 0.86%, while the benchmark 10-year yield rose to 1.74%. And in corporate news, shares of social media firm Twitter plummeted more than 20% after Recode reported that three major tech firms were unlikely to take it over. Overseas, European equities fell slightly, with the pan-European stock 600 index falling 0.4%. Britain's Financial Times index was down 0.5%, and Germany's DAX index was down 0.16%. And in Asia, markets were up, with the Nikkei up 0.5%, and Shanghai up 0.25%. Gold futures for December delivery fell $15.60 an ounce, finishing at $1,253. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Home Depot and DuPont. The worst performers were American Express and Walmart. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Whole Foods Market and Lam Research. And your worst performers were American Express and Indo International. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.91 at $117.87, CSX up 35 cents at $31.06, AK Steel down 3 cents at $4.61, Marathon Petroleum up 10 cents at $42.38, AEP up 6 cents at $62.24, and Kroger was up 54 cents to finish at $29.38. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Your weather tonight, mostly clear with patchy dense valley fog near dawn, lows in the mid-50s. On Friday, warm and mostly sunny with patchy dense valley fog early, highs in the upper 70s. On Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. On Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, then clearing, highs in the upper 60s. On Saturday night, clear with lows in the mid-40s. On Sunday, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Sunday night, clear with lows in the mid-40s. On Monday, sunny with highs around 70 degrees. Monday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 40s. In Ashland right now, it's 81 degrees. In Flemingsburg, 81 degrees. Inez, 81. Lexington, 82. Winchester, 84. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 82 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, and Chaz Jenkins. From WUKY, Josh James. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.